are continuing today. Currently, it's comprised of 26 field sites that never got to the University of Lincoln. This is a research program funded through several of the directorates and divisions at NSF. And each of the projects is funded for 6 years at a time, with continuation dependent on review of a renewal proposal every cycle. So, competitive program, some sites have less than program, but I've seen them expand and more sites over the last 26 at the moment. The last sites that were added were two marine sites. Through support from the bioceanography program at the Coral Reef site in Morea and the California coastal site in Southern California. LCR's characteristic attributes are three primarily. One is the focus on long term understanding. I hope it's something that's easy to overlook when it comes to the acronym. The breadth of the sites at which the research is conducted and the support that it has from partners both within NSF and external as well, many of whom are represented in the room, and I won't know your faces, but within NSF, the Office of Polar Program supports the Arctic sites, the Antarctic sites, two of them. Bioceanography program and geosciences directorate supports the two marine sites, and then Canada and I split support for four coastal sites. The Office of International Science and Engineering, the education and research directorate, and so on, other units within the foundation provide supplements, and the Social Behavior and Economic Sciences directorate co-funds the two urban sites and external partners from Maine to today's LPR extends from both the polar region to the tropics. It includes marine, coastal, and continental sites, includes urban and wild sites, centered towards grassland, as well as landscape. Clearly, as I said, one of the hallmarks of the program is not in replication, looking at diversity in the urban sites, but it's each year, the LPR community organizes one of these half day symposiums. Past topics have included invasive species, K-12 education, integration of geosciences and ecology at LCR, marine research, applications to ecosystem management. Last year's topic was human impacts on natural systems as a foundation for a new integrated research initiative that the community at that time was beginning to develop. This year's symposium focuses pretty much on the progress that's already occurred in integrating the human and natural perspectives on how the world might be. I'd like to thank all of you for coming. I think your diversity of reflection is a reflection that today's possibility is. If my numbers are right, again, I'm a little bit proud of keeping up with female traffic on this, but I think about half the people here are probably from other agencies, NGOs, consulting firms, whatever, in the community area. And about half are from various programs here within NSF. And as I said, I always view the great sign when I look out that I don't recognize. I know everybody here, but I don't feel that. We also have with us today, I believe, a couple of staff members from the Hill, and hopefully the Environmental Attaché for the Energy Branch allows us some special diversity that this year they're going to help very much. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you, for some additional opening remarks, Associate Director of
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Thanks, Josh. Is that there?
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. So you folks are here for your mini symposium as well as the meeting tomorrow, I guess, and even ongoing with the executive committee and the National Advisory Board. I'm going to have the pleasure to actually meet with those groups tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to it. I'll apologize right off the bat. I'm going to do one of those administrative things that give you some introductory remarks and then take off out of here to get into a taxi and head up to the Hill where 10 o'clock we're with the Senate Appropriations Committee and Barbara Mikulski et al. To talk about the NSF 08 budget request. So I apologize for needing to do one of those things, but I really do want to be here with you first thing this morning and then get to spend some time with the group tomorrow afternoon. The LTER program sits within a group of long-term investments that the biology director has made over a number of years now. So LTER fits up there with the protein data bank, for example, which we funded for a number of years. Fits up there with the plant genome project in general, which has been an enduring investment for 6, 7, 8 years now. NCES, NESNET, with which you're familiar as centers. And we're looking to make a longer-term investment also in something called the Plant Cyber Infrastructure Collaboratory. That initiative is out. We have the initial proposals in, and that could be an investment of up to $10 million a year for a decade in plant cyber infrastructure research. So the LTERs fit within this class of activities within the biology directorate that are really a privileged sort of investment within the entire structure of the federal government. It's this longer-term investment in collecting data relative to particular sort of questions. I had a chance yesterday to meet with Deb Peters. She came in early and we just visited for a bit. And she left me off the draft for the trends book that's coming out of the LTER effort as an activity. And I looked through it last night with Tracy and this morning. It's really a great example of what the LTER is all about in terms of long-term data sets. Just the patterns that begin to come out in the couple of dozen pages that Deb gave me were just really thrilling to be able to look at in terms of how some of these variables have changed over time. But the thing that begins to distinguish the LTERs and, in fact, these other sorts of long-term activities that I've alluded to is this notion that you folks are, at the end of the day, interested in focusing on basic conceptual and theoretical problems within the biological sciences in general and ecology and evolutionary biology in particular. And it's this capacity to keep in front of you what those basic questions are and what these basic questions are that need to be addressed with these particular kinds of data that go over at least years and sometimes decades. Maybe even at the end of the day, even longer periods of time when we get into paleo records and tree roots and that sort of information. So you really are looking for those longer term signals. And that's why this enduring investment, the enduring funding is worth it, because you're after a particular sort of theoretical and conceptual work. You also do it in a context where you're beginning to get a vision of systems. Systems in a way that we can think about sustainability, we can think about issues like resilience. And those are questions, those are concepts that really extend over longer periods of time. And then finally, and this fits with the third sort of issue that the biology director is interested in, you're beginning to become even more interested in the integration between the biological sciences and the social behavioral sciences, natural sciences and social behavioral sciences. This is a really interesting and important step for the science of ecology at this particular time. And again, it will challenge everyone in this room in terms of what these basic conceptual and theoretical problems are and how they need to be modified now. Basic theory, which has developed over the large part of the century, absent a view of ourselves as the dominant organism on the planet, now has to be modified, now needs to be modified in order to incorporate the immense role that we're playing on this planet right now, a role clearly indicated most recently by the IPCC. Now, the integration between theory and systems and biology and society also leads to the whole notion of interdisciplinary work. The LCDR is also a great example, one that I cite all the time as far as interdisciplinary work is concerned. And one thing that you should know about, some of you already may know about this, is that we have a couple of natural human systems programs here at NSF. And on her last day as Assistant Director for Geological Sciences, Margaret Linen, David Lightfoot, and I signed a memorandum of understanding establishing a couple of natural human systems programs as an enduring program here at NSF. So it's an acknowledgement within this institution of the importance of this sort of vision of bringing together in an interdisciplinary format these great ways of thinking intellectually about the world, but bringing them together in a sense so that we can support the scholars that really want to go after these questions, that sit at that junction, that sit at that interface, that really need to be taken apart and put together again in a synthetic way by people who think of it very differently, but are willing to come together at the same table to integrate their views as far as these particular ideas are concerned. So you are a community that is in many ways right at the frontier in terms of trying to think through these really tough intellectual problems that are facing us right now. Finally, let me finish up by indicating that the Biology Directorate, as I said, is investing in a number of long-term programs. We have been. And in fact, we're looking to invest in yet another one, and that'll be the National Ecological Observatory Network, which also relates to this group. But as I said to you in Estes Park, I think that we're in an era where we need to think about multiple sorts of observing systems as far as the natural environment is concerned. NEON is one way of looking at the world. The LCDR is another way of looking at the world. And we'll undoubtedly come up with other sorts of ways of looking at the world in the same way that the astrophysicists have come up with the notion of radioscopes and x-ray scopes and optical scopes. We need to use all these different tools, integrate them in terms of the visions they provide us, and come away with more of an integrated and synthetic understanding of what the natural world is all about. This directorate takes as its mission to enable the discoveries for understanding life, and it is through these sorts of different kinds of systems that this community, the environmental sciences community, will help us all come to a much deeper understanding of what that life is all about on this planet that has come about as a result of this integration between geosphere, that thin margin across the entire planet we call the biosphere, and the atmosphere. And that's what you folks have been doing so well for multiple years now, and will look to do so well out into the future. So that's why you're here for the next couple of days. Enjoy it as you put together your next set of activities and think about your strategic plan. And we'll look to hear from you about your best and brightest ideas, and I'll meet with your group tomorrow. So I'll finish up, Henry, so that you can stay on time. And again, I apologize, I need to run off, but I'd rather be here listening to you folks. But there we are. Thanks. Okay, thank you.
Okay, for our seats in the front here, and this time we want to do the lectures. Okay, it's now my pleasure to introduce the MC of the mini symposium. As I said, this is organized by the LCR community. NSF provides a room, some opening remarks like this, but all of the organization and presentations and so on are completely done by the LCR community.
The person who's going to MC is the co-organizer for it, the main composer, Dr. Phil Robertson. Phil is the lead PI for the Kellogg Biological Station Agricultural, the one row crop agricultural LGR site in southwestern Michigan. He's a professor at Michigan State University, and he's the incoming chair in May, I believe, of the LGR Executive Committee, which is their governance organization, board for that organization. In this latter capacity, Phil's going to replace John Magnuson. John, can you stand up there? John has been the chair of the executive board for the past 2 years, and Phil, you've got some size 13 shoes to fill there, I think. So, again, I look forward to meeting you all. I've emailed back and forth with many of you. So I look forward to meeting you, and hope you enjoy all the talks. So,
thanks, Henry. Let me also extend to you a warm welcome on behalf of the several thousand scientists who work to do research at the 26 LGR sites across the hemisphere. As Henry mentioned, I'm Phil Robertson, the incoming chair of the Network Science Council. I'm stepping into John Magnuson's capable shoes for the next 2 years. And it's my pleasure to introduce this morning's speakers. But before I do so, I'd like to take just a moment to acknowledge a member of the National Advisory Board who is rotating off after many years of distinguished service to the network. Paul Risser, who is currently chancellor of the Oklahoma State Higher Education System, chaired, he's been involved in the LGER network since its inception, in fact, before its inception, as I'm sure some of you here are aware. He chaired for NSF, the 10-year review of the LGER network, and participated in many other activities at critical junctures of network development. And he now leads the National Advisory Board, and I would like to ask if you please indulge me in helping to publicly acknowledge Paul's contributions to network science. Henry also mentioned that John Magnuson has made many contributions to the network as well, most recently as chair of the Science Council for the last year and a half, 2 years. And I think it's also appropriate to acknowledge John's contributions and also the fact that today is his birthday.
Oh.
So that brings us to our first science talk this morning and in our symposium on integrated science for society and the environment. And Scott Collins from the University of New Mexico will present the lead presentation and set the tone and context for this morning's symposium. Thank you, Scott.